This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a warm welcome to all our listeners from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. Please join us again every week on this station for worship with us.
Are you a people person? Do you love people? We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were really a people person, that you were the one who, when you walked on this earth, loved people and reached out and touched them and healed them and loved them and talked to them, acknowledged them. Oh God, we know that in your glorified state, you are the same. So we pray that you will come into our hearts. Grant us the forgiveness of our sins. Make us sure of this, that we are your children forever. And then, O God, make us in the true sense of the word a people person, that we may bring to them the message of salvation. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went on their own way. They were leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you have." Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers? And the expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Now, once again, the story starts with this. What must I do to inherit eternal life? This was a question that was asked to Jesus by an expert in the law. It's a question that is being asked in every generation. We ask it today. What's going to happen to me after I die? We can see that life can have some disappointments here. Will the next life be a lot better than this, even though this one hasn't been too bad? And secondly, this life is pretty short. Is the next life going to be longer? And when they hear that it is eternal, they really get interested. So this is not a unique question that is asked. Lord, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, the interesting thing is to see how Jesus handled it. He turned to the man and said, "What does the Word of God have to say?" You see, these questions of a theological nature are answered in the Word alone. Therefore, it is very important, because it is a theological question, that we have some acquaintance with theology. Any person who teaches the Word of God should study theology as it is found in the Scriptures. It is not enough just to stand there with some ideas of our own. The theological seminary is where we train our men and women to go forth and to stand in the pulpit and to preach what God wants to be preached. Therefore, they can't get too much theological education, as far as I'm concerned. And we should be very concerned as a church as to what is being taught in our seminaries. A seminary is a multiplying machine. Do you realize how important that place is where your pastor is trained? I recall when I was a student at Luther Seminary many, many years ago, a faithful professor of many of the students was a person by the name of George Oss. I have quoted him often on Christian Crusaders. George Oss had received a very, very exciting call to a large church in downtown Minneapolis. And some of us were fearing that the good professor might leave academia and go into the parish ministry from whence he had come. So a few representatives of our group went to the president of the seminary and said to him, "We understand that Dr. Oss has a call to this prestigious church. Will you do everything you can to keep him here on the campus as our professor?" The president of the seminary, Dr. Ted Gullickson, a very wise individual, said, "Thank you for your interest, students. I'm glad you love the professor. I want to bring you comfort. Dr. George Oss knows when he is an adding machine and when he's a multiplying machine. Not to take a thing away from the parish pastor, there is no calling greater, but he adds them one by one. A theological professor is teaching those who are going to teach, and he is a multiplying machine." So, because these theological questions, such as the one that we have today, What's going to happen to me when I die? How will I inherit eternal life? Needs all of what God's Word has to tell us. Those who are teaching in our church, for example, I think of lay people, Sunday school teachers, should be lay theologians. They should be able to answer the questions of those children from kindergarten right on through. They should let them know what it means, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. After all, it was Karl Barth who said that no more profound theology has ever been spoken than those words. The Sunday school teacher needs to be a mini theologian. Well, here you have our Lord acting out as the real theologian. What shall I do to inherit eternal life was the question. And here is Jesus' answer. What does it say in the scriptures? And then the great keeper of the law said, well, it says this. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He was quoting from Deuteronomy 5 and Leviticus 19. And when Jesus heard, he said, you have answered correctly. You do this, and you will live. Now to further test Jesus, this keeper of the law, or the student of the law, asked him, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus, being a very, very wise man, said, let me tell you a story. And then the story of the Good Samaritan is brought to light. Now, this is far more than just a moral lesson, and I'll come back to that at the end of the sermon. It is sometimes a text that frightens me, for if it is taken out of the scriptures per se and left to stand by itself, it can teach that we are saved through work righteousness. Love God and love your fellow men. See, that's what I do. Well, I try to love God. I love my fellow men. I do some good things. I pay my help well, or we do a good day's work for a good day's pay, so forth and so on. But this is far more than this, friend. So let's proceed a bit further. He tells him the story of a man who was going from Jericho to Jerusalem alone. And he fell among the robbers. They beat him, pounded him, took off his clothes, robbed him of everything, and threw him by the side of the road to die. Now, in some ways, this man was living very dangerously. He had brought this terrible incident on himself. Why had he walked that road alone? Generally speaking, if they walked that road, they were always in masses of people, needed someone to protect them. But he didn't, and so he suffered the consequences. Now, about that time, there was a priest who came by, and he looked at the poor fellow and thought, well, I think he's alive, but I better not take a chance on that. And so he went away on the other side. And a little bit later, a Levite came. He did the same. He looked at the man and went away on the other side. In other words, they left him to die. A bit later, here came a Samaritan. And he looked at the fellow who was very, very sick. And he thought, well, what have we got here? He got off on his donkey. He got down and saw this man was brutally hurt, brutally attacked. And so he began to take his oil and other medicines out of his satchel, and he tried to heal him, tried to attend him. And after he got him patched up a little bit so he could travel, he put him on the donkey and went into an inn. And there he took care of him. And on the next day, he handed the innkeeper some extra money, and he said, keep your eyes on him, will you? And if there's more expense when I come back, I'll make it right with you. Then Jesus said to this keeper of the law, which one proved to be the neighbor? And the man replied, well, of course, the neighbor did. The Samaritan did. And he said, go and do likewise, and you will live. Now, this question, friend, how shall I inherit eternal life? Closely tied with the answers, standing by itself, could give you the impression, and I'm being repetitious, that Jesus is here teaching something just a bit different than what he had taught before. By keeping the law, you can be saved. I imagine if we could say, I can keep the law perfectly, and I did not inherit sin, that I could walk into heaven on my own. But you and I know this is not true, and so did that man in the text. Why did he not fall at Jesus' feet and cry out, God, have mercy on me, a sinful man? In this text that we have today, now we go beyond just a mere moral lesson. Jesus is showing us the importance of the law. It cannot be amended to be more acceptable to our culture. The law stands. There is a foolish teaching around about today who says, well, the gospel cannot be changed, but the law can. We've got to make it more acceptable to culture, or we're going to turn the world away from the Christian message. And the Bible goes on to say, you amend the law, and you will turn the world aside because they'll say you have nothing substantial to offer anybody. Jesus says, rather, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish it. I have not come to amend it. I have come to fulfill it. That's quite a difference. Here we're beginning to see what Paul meant when he said, so the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. In other words, this portion of God's word shows how helpless we really are, shows how sinful we are. We can repeat very glibly that we should love the Lord and our neighbor as ourselves. But when we try to do it, we fall shy of doing what our Lord wants us to do. So the law brings me into the presence of Christ. And here Christ comes and says, no, I know that you cannot love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And as you fall into sin on this summary of God's law, remember I have come to pick you up and to love you and to forgive you. And I did this through dying on a cross. And when you receive me as my Savior and my Lord, and I live in your heart, that makes you a brand new person. The love of Christ compels you to be a people person. For people have been created in the image of God. And people have been redeemed by Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. So when people are in need, and all of us are in need, then we come to them with this glorious message of the Word of God. Jesus loves you. This is what he wants you to know. We become a new person in Jesus Christ. So does that mean then that while we can treat God as we want to and our neighbor as we want to? Of course it doesn't. But it means while we are guided by the law and we thank God for the law, which he has fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, we want to attempt to live by that law as best we can. And when we attempt to live by that law, empowered by the Holy Spirit, all of creation, all people are precious and important to us, for they are precious and important to God. Now, this is a theological question, and it is a theological answer. And you begin to see how important it is, friend, to know some theology. Terribly important. We have to be able to interpret Scripture with Scripture. Oh, it doesn't mean that we have to have advanced degrees, no. It doesn't mean that we have to try to read some of the latest theological books that are being written. It doesn't mean we should necessarily have to read all the classical books on the subject of theology. But it does mean that we need to be into the Scriptures and really understand what God is saying. God is telling us that this is not just a moral lesson, but this is a lesson that confronts us with the law and shows us how sinful we are. And then it shows us also how God wants us to live once we have been redeemed. This then becomes a real spiritual experience. Who is my neighbor? My neighbor is anyone. My neighbor is that person who is standing there waiting for some help. It might be the neighbor who has just lost a loved one. It may be someone who is dreadfully sick. It may be someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They are our neighbors. And we are to go to them and love them as much as we love ourselves. You know, friend, I listen to sermons, and again we are being told, love one another. And that is true. We should love one another. We should honestly do what we can to help that person. But if we have not experienced Christ's love for us, how can we ever expect to love one another? First, you have to feel, you have to know, you have to understand on the basis of Scripture that Jesus Christ has truly loved us. And after we have learned that, and that love saturates our soul, then there will be no question that we will reach out to that other person who has not yet met the Savior, but is precious and important to our Lord. Take that with you, will you? It's the first of these three sermons, a story, that Luke has put right here in his gospel. And next week we'll take a look at another one, that one that talks to us about hearing the Word of God. Amen.
Oh, this all my
Father in heaven, we realize that what is impossible for man is possible with you. And so we thank you that you give to us the assurance that our salvation has been prepared for, and it is ours by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone. God, we realize how sinful we really are when we stand in the presence of your law. The laws that we try to make ourselves that conform to our culture. Perhaps we can draw a pretty good case for ourselves. But when we stand there before you and know that law cannot be tampered with, it is truth, inspired, then we cry out for grace. So we ask your blessings upon us as we walk through this life, looking forward to that day when we will know what it is to see you face to face. Bless those who are sick. Comfort those who mourn the loss of loved ones. Bless and be with this land of ours that we love. Purge it from its errors, and grant that we may be humble to realize that even in the United States of America, our strength alone is in trusting Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping today with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We hope that today's sermon will be a light to guide you in the coming week. If this ministry meets your spiritual needs, we hope you will remember us in your prayers and with your financial gifts. As a nonprofit organization, we are dependent upon the generosity of our listeners for both prayerful and financial support. You can send a donation in any amount, and you can even make a contribution online at christiancrusaders.org. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Thank you to all our listeners who have faithfully supported this ministry. Besides donating online, you can use our website to read or listen to today's sermon as well as many past sermons. Also found on our website are slideshows about the ministry, a weekly e-newsletter preview of the upcoming sermon, and links to daily devotions and Bible study helps. Please visit christiancrusaders.org to find out this and more. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously for the past 74 years.